Megyn Kelly. And if you look at her arguments, they were very low IQ, but they were for her MAGA base or for the MAGA base, even though she was someone who was attacking Trump in 2016. But I guess that is the new Trump base now. Everyone who attacked him in 2016 is part of his administration now. But she was like, oh, it's Hamas. He's, Mahmoud Khalil has a Hamas and he worked with UNRWA and there, that's Hamas and everything's Hamas. And therefore, any kind of tenuous link links you back to Hamas because the whole point is they'll want use that to eradicate everyone and censor speech. So you can tenuously link anyone who's pro-Palestine with Hamas. You could from 6 degrees of separation. So yeah, of course, like this is going to be a huge problem. And if you look at what's happening now, this is severe escalation. We've got Ryan Dawson joining us as well. Ryan Dawson, thanks for joining us. What do you think about this? I know you respect Colonel McGregor quite a bit. What's your thoughts on these vessels going towards Iran and also, oh, okay, just before I go to Iran, sorry, got some breaking news. Oh, wicked. My team's posting. God, I don't have to post it. And let me read this one. And it's in the Nest, breaking news directly from Benjamin Netanyahu's office. And he says, quote, Israeli PM Netanyahu's office announced the resumption of war and the collapse of the ceasefire. They said, quote, Prime Minister Netanyahu and Defense Minister Israel Katz have directed the IDF to act forcefully against the Hamas terrorist organization in the Gaza Strip. This comes after Hamas repeatedly refused to release our abductees and rejected all offers it received from the US President's envoy, Steve Witkoff, and from other mediators. The IDF is currently attacking targets affiliated with the Hamas terrorist organization throughout the Gaza Strip with the aim of achieving the war goal defined by the political echelon, including the release of all of our abductees, living and dead. From now on, Israel will act against Hamas with increased military force. The operational plan was presented by the IDF at the end of last week and approved by the political echelon. So the Gaza genocide has restarted, unfortunately, there are vessels heading towards Iran as well, and this looks like Iran did interact with some US drones as well. Ryan, thanks for joining us. Love to hear your thoughts on this. What do you think about this?
Well, I don't think anybody could possibly be shocked that Netanyahu is restarting the genocide. Whoever believed him in the first place? Look, the Republicans and the Democrats passed Trump's budget, which is really Biden's budget because it's the same thing. And Thomas Massie predicted that. I guess they're going to roll over because this is Schumer budget. This is the Trump budget. This is the same thing. They're all grabbing their ankles for Israel, both parties, and say, well, this one's a little worse than that one. But no, on Israel, it's always the same. They do 100% of what they're told. The threats on Iran are threats on Iran. Three ships, it's not all of them. They're not going to hit Iran yet. But eventually that's going to happen. They're going to use Yemen as a pretext to do airstrikes on the supposed nuclear facilities that are supposedly building nuclear bombs. They're not. It's just rhetoric. And, the people in charge, it's not like propaganda is designed to fool thinking people. It's designed to give fools an excuse not to think at all. And, the maggots will eat it up. And I'm just going to call him Zump instead of Trump. We're just going to call him Zump for Zio Trump. It's the woke MAGA. They're censoring students. Of course, they're bombing Gaza. They're bombing Lebanon. Yesterday, Israel killed 9 people. 8 of the 9 were aid workers trying to bring water into Gaza. It was a charity group from the United Kingdom, Al-Qaher, that's what it is. They're just blowing up the aid workers. And now they're saying, well, we're hitting Hamas targets. Well, everything's supposedly a Hamas target. You're just trying to starve and exterminate people, like Native American style. And they even offered a trail of tears. Let's just relocate them, put them somewhere else. It's happening in front of the world, and there's not much the world can do about it because American power is what it is. And if we don't get rid of these parasites, we're going to be dragged into another world war. Of course, prices are going up, and nothing tickles me more than watching a bunch of Yankees argue against tariffs and say, wow, tariffs actually are a tax on the consumer. Who would have thunk? Because that was the whole argument of the Civil War. And now they're starting to realize, yeah, that's exactly what tariffs do. We've got a bunch of idiots in the cabinet. I'm not holding my breath on the JFK files. I think it's just going to be more redundant crap we already have. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm batting 1,000 on these files, by the way. So, yeah, I mean, poor Yemen. Like, they went through all those cyclical wars with the Saudis and the UAE, and now it's back on again. Thousands of them are protesting in Sana'a right now. But these attacks won't, I mean, it's not going to stop the policing of the Red Sea, and it's not going to stop Iran and Yemen, but it is going to make a lot of money for Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and Northrop Grumman and General Dynamics and the select stocks of select thing people in Wall Street will profit off of murder. And that's all that's being accomplished.
Just some more breaking news. Unfortunately, 9 people, initial reports are stating that 8 Palestinians, of which 5 children, have been killed in Gaza due to Israeli airstrikes. Other reports are saying dozens of civilians, including children, were killed and injured after Israeli raids on numerous areas in the Gaza Strip. This is coming, information is coming thick and fast. But yeah, unfortunately, the genocide in Gaza continues. Ryan, just a quick question. That tweet's in the nest. Guys, Ryan, another question. So just for the audience, your thoughts are, when it comes to Iran, the fact that 3 vessels are moving towards Iran, that's more of a kind of strategic tactical move, and which is different to the genocide of Gaza that's started on again today, right?
Yeah, that's not enough to start a war with Iran, but it is it's posturing and it's a threat. It's one of the steps you would take to escalate to such a thing. And Trump is, he reminds me of Bush Zump, excuse me. Zump reminds me of Bush the Lesser, where the neocons got in his ear like, well, you don't want people to think you're weak. You're a wimp unless you flex and do this and this and get closer and closer to these very dangerous games of chicken. Where they, and well, of course, Bush Jr. did start wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. And Zump is edging closer and closer to that, moving carriers around, sending more ships. So these are very dangerous games just to prove you're tough, prove you mean business. And he's stupid enough to think, look, if I blow some shit up over here, that'll make me look strong. So then when I negotiate about Ukraine, Russia's going to listen to me. They're going to laugh at you because you've got the largest navy in the world struggling to deal with Houthis and al-Ansar. Yeah, you don't look tough. You look stupid.
And another question I've got is, and then obviously we'll bring some panelists in as well, but a question I have is, you've basically got a scenario over the last week. You've got the United States of America bombing the Houthis. You had, and Houthis are basically stopping ships going to Israel. You've got the United States of America moving vessels towards Iran, and Iran is obviously Israel's biggest arch nemesis to an extent. You've got the genocide of Gaza continuing. We know they were bombing Hezbollah just recently as well. Bombing Damascus too. Thanks for that. Right, and so what's your thoughts on this? This is kind of like 4 or 5 things that are happening in one go. I mean, this is severe escalation. We know also the offer that was given to Russia as well, that was something that was couldn't be accepted as a ceasefire. I mean, this is becoming extremely concerning when it comes to the direction we're going towards World War III, right?
I don't remember if it was on your space or Patrick's space, but I was explaining how on Iranian TV, because, you know, propaganda always prepares the public before they take policy actions, there are all these generals. And the generals are saying, look, they're trying to take us out one by one. They want to hit Gaza, then hit Hezbollah, then hit the Houthis, then hit us. And we have to have a unified front now and oppose them now. Iran can see this coming. All of us could see this coming. We could see this coming back when Wesley Clark pulled out the list, the script of wars the U.S. had to do for Israel to ensure regional hegemony for Israel and greater Israel. They want a land grab. They've physically taken pieces of Syria. They are still expanding in the West Bank. They want to get rid of these threats, their economic threats. The Port of Eli was shut down because of the Houthi. So they want America to go wipe them out. Israel can't do it. Israel has a navy. They have an air force. Why don't they challenge them? Nah. Because they never do. Anybody that has more than like slingshots and RPGs, they're not going to mess with. Because Israel just admitted, by the way, the IDF was admitting they lost thousands of soldiers in Gaza. They lost about 6,000 soldiers in that war. They were saying hundreds. It was thousands. And that was their mercenaries, their Bedouin cannon fodder, their special forces. They don't have much, so they're going to need the U.S. and Britain to do the heavy lifting. And both those countries will do it. And when Israel says jump, they say off of which building, sir? Because they are so tightly woven by the Israel lobby. That is, when I say lobby, I mean all the Israeli affiliate groups too. It's plural. There's the problem right there. You've got a parasite that is just a career ender for any politician in the federal government. That if you oppose them, you're gone. So they've hijacked their apparatus of electing officials, and we only have, with a few exceptions like Thomas Massie, a completely pro-Israel cabinet, Congress, and it takes people on the outside, like Colonel McGregor or Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson or Danny Davis. These colonels will speak out against it, like one or two congressmen, and that's it. You speak out against it on Fox News, like Tucker, fired, and he only did it in the most tacit way. And then you get people like Megyn Kelly, who wants her job back, just drooling, dragging her lip there for BB. And if you are an influencer and you oppose it, they'll cancel you, maybe throw you in jail if you're big enough. That's how this system works. It is Jewish organized crime, and has been for 70 years.
Thanks, Ryan, for that. Just really quickly, guys, there's some breaking news in the Nest. Israel is bombing children in Gaza right now. You can see the video. They are running with their children who've been injured in the bombing. It's almost like the ceasefire never happened. And we've gone right back to October the 8th, October the 9th, October the 10th, 2023. Israel has gone full force. So please share that. Get the news out there. It's really important that we actually get this news out there so it's not actually squashed. That's the first thing. The second one, the second tweet in the Nest, there's two in the Nest. The death toll in Gaza has risen to 45, and this is just in the last hour after Israeli bombing restarted, and you've got an image there, so please share both of those things. I just want to say, Ryan, you were mentioning Steve Witkoff, right? And he said, yeah, okay, we can't go anywhere with these negotiations, it's just not going to work. Now let's bear in mind, Steve Witkoff is Israel's chosen person in Trump's administration who was there to go and do the negotiation, but on the sideline Adam Bola had gone to negotiate directly with Hamas without Israel A knowing about it and Israel's involvement. Because when Steve Witkoff goes, when the official representative goes, they talk to Israel. They actually talk to Israel about what's needed. They don't talk to Hamas. They talk to Israel, and Israel say, oh, talk to them, and this is what's happened. Now, when Adam Bola went,
It's like Anthony Blinken going to talk to Zelensky about Russia.
exactly.
And Steve Witkoff works with the Board of Governors for the Jewish Agency.
Exactly.
Like, he shouldn't even have a job in the
And
United
my question
States.
to you, I just want to make this point, Ryan, and then I want to ask you a question. So Adam Bola is somebody who went directly to Hamas, and he was asked on CNN, the clip is out there, where he says, oh, he's asked what were Hamas like, and he says they're actually pretty nice guys, just like us. And what he was told was, actually, we just want a complete ceasefire. We want to return all the hostages. We want to get our hostages back. We want to make sure this doesn't happen again. And he thought it was a very, very reasonable position. And then Israel lost their mind and said, nah, pull him out of there, take him off the job.
Well, I'll tell you what it reminds me. Yeah, they got rid of him, and they have the power to do that. You know, it's just like Danny Davis was appointed by Tulsi Gabbard, and they said all the they all convention screamed, and that was the end of that. It reminds me of John Bolton sabotaging peace talks with North Korea and saying, we're going to give him the Libya treatment, which is exactly what they were planning on doing. But he like said it. So North Korea backed out. I hope Russia's looking at this and saying, well, look, you get your little 30-day pause, and what happened? They regrouped, rearmed, and bombed again after they got a few hostages back. What they tried to do in Ukraine is say, let's have a pause. We're not going to move out of Kursk, though. We're still going to arm everything. So you want to time out because you're losing so you can regroup and rearm. And once the prisoner swap is done, you will reinstitute the violence again. Well, fortunately, Lavrov and Putin saw through that, but now they have an example to look at. Like, look, you negotiated for peace and then you didn't hold it. So why would we believe you in Ukraine? It's just they are sabotaging whatever. I think Trump and Vance, for his own egotistical, like, narcissistic fantasy of, well, I can get it done where others can't, were serious about that. But they chose a bunch of Christian Zionists, like 100% across the board in the cabinet, and they're sabotaging everything. They want war. Like, you can't aim for peace and pick a bunch of warmongering lunatics to implement it. They're going to sabotage it, and they are. He's getting railed again, just like the first time he was president. You look at his cabinet then. It was horrible, but I think this one's even worse. Because, I mean, at least last one, the IQ was close to triple digits. Not this time. I mean, these people are not America's best and brightest, put it that way.
It goes with the territory, right? The MAGA supporters. Tell me which MAGA supporter is bright. Sorry, Yaffa, can you not hear me talking?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll come to you in 1 second. Ryan, I was going to say, and this is my personal opinion, it goes with the territory. I've yet to meet a bright MAGA supporter who still supports him blindly. There's nobody that bright who supports Trump blindly at the moment. A cult.
Yeah, there are only people that, like, hated Harris more, which I understand. Like, I felt like that. I felt like that with Obama, too. I was like, I know how bad he sucks, but he's better than McCain. That didn't really say much, though. The people that support him because they actually like him, they actually thought, oh, he'll do what I want. Yeah, that they're like QAnon level, you know, airplane denier level, birther level, stupid.
True, very true. Yaffa, go ahead. Just before I go to Yaffa,
there were no airplanes, though, by the way.
Just 1 second. I want to go to the tweet in the nest. The tweet in the nest, guys, Israel are targeting children and civilians in Gaza right now. You've got an image. It's of the Red Crescent, which are the ambulance service, and they're running. They have no ambulance or anything left, so they're running with a handmade cart or a stretcher or something. It's a stretcher, and they're running with children on this stretcher. Horrific, horrific images. Please share that tweet in the nest, retweet it, go and post it under other people's posts. Let them know what's happening, because a lot of people are going to be talking about useless stuff tonight. Go and take this tweet and put it under their post and let them know that the Gaza genocide has restarted again. So sorry, who was going to speak? Was it you, brother?
Just more breaking news. This one's in the nest as well. Yemeni statement from the Yemeni Houthis, who stated, quote, we targeted the U.S. aircraft Harry S. Truman in the northern Red Sea with two cruise missiles and two drones. So that is happening right now as well in terms of the Yemeni Houthis engagement with the United States as well.
Guys, when these tweets go in the nest, please share them really quickly, because we'll just be replacing them and putting new ones there. So for anything you've missed, go to Suleiman's profile. You can see them all there. He's posting all the breaking news. Please share them and get the news out there. I don't know, was it Brother Ivy? Were you going to jump in with something? If not, I can go to Yaffa first.
You can go to Yaffa.
Yaffa, go ahead.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's devastating what's happening in Gaza at the moment. We're basically the first Palestinian crypto project. We're a group of developers who live
before. Yeah, but please, you're not going to plug something here, are you? Because it's really not the space. Let me just say something. I don't want to hear the word crypto. I don't want to hear the word Bitcoin. I don't want to hear the word development. I want to talk about what's happening. Let's not mention them at all. Let's talk about what's happening right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. I think the one point I want to make that I am a Palestinian Christian. I was born and raised in Palestine. And I just want to send a message to everyone that is like a non-Muslim that thinks that the war in against Gaza or against the Palestinian people, it has to do anything only like against Islam or people that has this religion. It's not true, because us, the Palestinian Christians who were born and raised under the occupation, we have suffered. We've been suffering with our Muslim brothers and sisters for 75 years now. Israel never stopped attacking the churches in Gaza. I have lost family members in Gaza. And settlers have been attacking our churches and our existence in the West Bank and in Jerusalem constantly. And this is something that, it's a message that everyone should know. Everyone that is watching the news right now and looking at the propaganda and how they're promoting things in the news, it's not true. This is not true. And especially the Anglican Christians, they don't know what's going on exactly. They think that they look at the war from an ideology perspective that is not true. The Palestinian Christians are the native Christian of the Holy Land, and they are Palestinians. And by the way, we hold the keys for every church in the Holy Land, and we are the protectors of the existence of every stone, every church Jesus touched for the last 3,000 years. And our existence is right there, is in that land, and we suffer with every other Palestinian. And I just want to make sure that everyone understands this message.
Thank you so much, Yaffa. I just want to go to breaking news, and I'm going to come back to you, Yaffa. There's breaking news in the Nest. Gaza is on fire right now. These images, guys, if you look at the tweet in the Nest, please share it. Please retweet it. Please post it. Yaffa, take this tweet and post it underneath other people's posts. These MAGA Christians that want this to happen, post it underneath their posts and let them know that you are also a Christian and Christianity is also suffering. And we very much talk about that and we acknowledge that. But these MAGA Christians need to know. And if you look at the image, guys, in the video, it reminds me of that night when they burnt the tents. Do you remember those tents full of children outside the hospital because the hospital had been bombed and they burnt people alive?
That was horrific. You could see the arms sticking up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And this is what this looks like. If you look at it, they're just bombing residential places tonight. And Gaza is literally on fire. The tweet is in the Nest. Please share it. Please retweet it. Yaffa's gone, but I just want to say to Yaffa, really sorry to hear that you also lost family members in Gaza. I would encourage you to tweet about this a lot more. I just checked your profile. I don't see this being mentioned on your profile. And obviously, it's up to you what you tweet. But I would encourage you to tweet about the fact that Christian churches were bombed in Gaza. I think that's paramount to anything else. And also, we don't endorse anything that Yaffa actually said in the beginning in terms of what he's doing or anything like that. Please, it's a recorded space. Neither Suleiman nor I, no Brother Morfit, no Simon, no Ryan endorse any of that, and nor do we advocate for it. So, yeah, let's go to Suleiman. Was there anything else, or if we can go to the other hands?
Yeah. Just want to give everyone a recap because we've got a huge number of new listeners on the space right now. Do retweet, reshare the space, let everybody know we're live. But there is major incidents occurring right now. The first thing is US vessels are heading towards Iran. In addition to that, you also have a scenario where basically the Gaza genocide has restarted. The ceasefire is over. Furthermore, the Houthis and the US are engaging. The US bombed Yemen significantly yesterday. Today, the Houthis basically have attacked an American vessel. Furthermore, you have an American drone that went towards Iran, towards Tehran, and that was basically confronted by Iran. So significant issues happening in Gaza. They've hit a number of different locations: Khan Yunis, Gaza City, Rafah, and at least 45 people have. There are reports that there are at least 45 people who've died, of which at least 5 are children, maybe more, because we had the 5 children when there was 8 people that we'd found that 8 people died. But now there are reports that there are at least 45 people who have died. So Yeah, it's very, very sad what's happening in Gaza right now. But and it looks like the US, after funding Israel with $12 billion, is supporting Israel in this genocide, is also attacking anyone who they deem as a threat to Israel. And it seems like we are going towards a direction of World War III. Significant issues and significant concerns are happening right now. There's horrific videos coming out of Gaza. It's really sad. But anyway, let me go to Simon. Simon, what's your thoughts?
Hey, everybody. Yes, it's always horrible when it actually starts happening as well, even though when you know these things are going to happen. We knew that, for the last 2 weeks, they've been implementing a starvation campaign. They've been making sure that there's no aid, no electricity, no water, no food, no shelter, all because the peace plan was progressing and it reached the stage when there was no other choice but to negotiate what the future looks like. The Egypt plan was released. The GCC said, here's a $53 billion rebuild plan. Here's the solution. Hamas said, we're willing to step aside to new leadership if there is a feasible plan, and we move to phase two. Hamas said, we're willing to release all hostages. The Israeli protesters that generally don't care about the Palestinians but do care about the release of their own hostages, they were putting maximum pressure. The Israeli government said that if we don't return to the Gaza genocide again, then you know the government will be broken up, and the Israeli political system will be in complete disarray. So Netanyahu has been planning exactly how to return to this. Now, I do take a slightly different view in terms of how I interpret this, as tragic as it is, and as many deaths as we know we're about to see again. Netanyahu and the Israeli government have been really pushing out the whole, we're under attack on seven fronts. We're pushing, you know, and that narrative is being pushed to the max and escalating in every single direction, whether it be Syrian expansion, whether it be Lebanese strikes, whether it be terrorism within the West Bank, whether it be the genocide within Gaza, and whether it be the maximum PR campaign in order to ratchet up the war with Iran and all other fronts. But that whole, we're being attacked on every front. To me, this is where I interpret it slightly differently. I believe this is the maximum desperation of Israel. I personally believe that Israel is at its weakest point in terms of how absolute disastrous the reputation is. It had a minimum amount of time in order to eliminate Hamas and achieve its goals. It hasn't achieved its goals. And just like as soon as you're getting to the negotiation point with Israel and, Ukraine and Russia, you get the maximum pressure campaigns. I personally believe that this is a maximum pressure campaign because the negotiations are going to be happening within Saudi Arabia. And there are a lot of things that need to be negotiated within Saudi Arabia between on the Russia-Ukraine side, on the future relationship between America and the GCC. And I personally believe that this is the maximum pressure campaign, in order to for Israel to have been negotiating from the strongest point with the maximum amount of appearance of land, with the maximum amount of pressure to Iran to try and take us to the point where it looks like we're about to go to World War III, but then some kind of solution and path forward that doesn't involve World War III, because the reality is America cannot win this war. This would be the fall of the US empire if it does go to war with Iran. It would take the whole world down with it, because the dynamics of the setup of everything right now just cannot escalate to World War III without it being a suicide mission for all. And so while all of the Congress, the Zionist Congress, you know, they may want to put Israel first, but it is just a suicide mission for all. So I personally believe that this is the maximum pressure campaign before we move to some kind of resolution and path forward, because I do believe the general direction, and I'm not quite sure how long it takes and how much disaster needs to happen and how many people need to die to get there, but the general direction is that this isn't a war America can actually win, and Israel has no plan. Israel is no longer useful in general, and so all of this maximum pressure, I personally believe, needs to some kind of negotiation, some kind of actual plan that doesn't involve going to World War III, because there are too many powerful forces in the Middle East that know that this is just disaster for them. It's a suicide mission for all. But I think it's just fascinating to see what the MAGA Trump people are going to be, because so far, since Trump has been the president, he's escalated on every front, whether it be Gaza, whether it be West Bank, whether it be Somalia, whether it be Yemen, whether it be Lebanon. This is certainly not the actions of somebody that is looking for a Nobel Peace Prize.
When you say that America can't win that war, do you mean because of Iran's nuclear program and it would just lead to mutually assured destruction?
Yeah, so if you target Iran's nuclear program, firstly, it wipes out Qatar, it wipes out Bahrain, so it contaminates their water, it contaminates their fish. Within 3 days, it would create a humanitarian crisis in regions that actually have US military bases. There's a 25-year agreement, an economic agreement with China. There's a 20-year security and economic agreement with Russia. And so everybody, I personally believe that the leadership knows that the future is some kind of normalization with Iran. And the GCC being the powers of the region, with Israel becoming essentially a less significant, because Israel has not achieved its goals. It is not a superpower. It is a failing economy with a failing reputation that is dragging all of its partners down with it and destroying the reputation of America. And the only thing that's propping it up right now is the fact that it's got blackmail, bribery over Congress. But none of these decisions are being made by Congress. These are Trump decisions. Yeah, he's got his... This isn't going to vote. This isn't declared wars. These are unconstitutional, decisions that are essentially acts of war without even going through the process. America has, I mean, I'm sure America's not telling you what's happening to their arms supplies and their weapons and them, but you can't just have this many wars on this many fronts and not be running pretty low on your equipment right now. This would be the biggest, most disastrous forever war that would have so many implications for the entire region, all of its partners, all of its neighbors. And America has many partners across the region. We know that now. We've seen that. So it's a suicide mission. And I don't believe that Israel's power by bribing governments leads to the type of suicide mission that would be so disastrous. It can't win. There's no win. There's no win. You cannot win a war with Iran with the current setup of the economic powers of the region and the world right now.
Thanks for that, Simon. Yeah, the images coming out of Gaza are horrific. Allegedly, 450 people have been murdered. Hundreds are injured. We're seeing horrific images and videos coming out. Like, I don't even tweet some of this. Like, it's really hard. Like, I'm trying to decide whether I should tweet it or not, whether I should put it out in the public. It's just really bad to see. But yeah, just check the nest and check the feed. The one in the nest says that at least Israel has killed largely women and children tonight. They've targeted homes, mosques, schools, refugee tents in Gaza. More than 20 airstrikes in Gaza within 2 minutes. So this is extremely horrific what we're seeing right now. Simon, were you going to say something?
What does this do? Honestly, please, MAGA, Trump supporters, like, at some point you need to really wake up and ask yourself what you're supporting here. Like,
Simon, this is what makes it interesting, because not interesting, obviously, but what I mean is, when the left were doing it, when Harris and Biden were complicit in the genocide, you did have people from the left speak out against them. They weren't blind followers. They had some independent thinking to an extent. You saw the protests. You saw all these things. There's a reason they lost the election. That was the reason. With the MAGA movement, two issues. The first is that they'll blindly follow Trump. And the second thing is that, generally speaking, the MAGA movement was the dissident movement. It was anti-government, anti-military industrial complex, anti-deep state. And literally what's happened is, with Trump selling out, he's turned the dissidents, the anti-war people, into pro-war. So that's almost like the biggest sleight of the hand you could see. But go ahead, Simon, what were you going to say?
Well, just let's all be crystal clear here. If you are a Trump supporter and you are in MAGA, and you are not sharing what Trump is doing right now and what is being done in the name of MAGA, and as Suleiman shares these photos, and as more children get burnt alive, as more women get killed, as peace is being escalated, just remember, if you're engaged in a cover-up operation, you're no better than Biden and Antony Blinken and Holocaust Harris and Genocide Joe. You are actively complicit and engaging in the process of genocide, and you should be using all of your influence, all of your force, in order to recognize that Trump is betraying every word of what he said he would do. And if you're not using all of your influence and all of your power and all of your social media to not come against Trump right now and say, hey, this is not what we stood for, then you are no different to the person, the Jewish person, that's covering up for Israel, saying not saying not in my name. You are exactly like that right now. You are and that's what you should be doing. You need to recognize it.
I want to jump in here. I'm just, I want to engage in this conversation in good faith. And I'm really here to learn. I've been listening most of the time. I'm just your average pre-middle-aged American. I'm very tech focused, but I voted for Trump. I am not a MAGA by any stretch of the imagination. And the way that the administration is being run right now, I think I'm relatively disappointed. I was expecting a much more swift resolution to the Russia-Ukraine war. You guys seem to be very focused on Gaza and Israel. And frankly, I'm just ignorant on the subject. I've tried to watch YouTube videos of the history of the Palestinians, of Israel. And personally, I think it's a little disingenuous to say that Israel is completely targeting women and children. My first question there is, can't the women and children separate themselves from Hamas? This is one of the fundamental issues in Gaza, and right?
And go where? They're in an open air.
That's a great question, right?
It's smaller than that. One of the,
they are separate. And they just bomb them and say Hamas is there. There's no Hamas there.
And isn't the issue with terrorism and insurgency?
Yuppie, let me just say something.
Uniforms.
Sorry, Yuppie, one second. When you say can they not separate themselves from women and children, of the 2.2 million or 2.3 million people that were in Gaza before the genocide, now it's 1.6, 1.7 if you listen to Trump. That's how many people Israel has killed. Over 50% of the population is under 16. Under 16. And Israel knows this. And so when you talk about children, they're not in a minority. They've been in a blockade for over a decade, a blockade where Israel approves what goes in, what comes out. They're locked. It's not even a prison, because in our prisons, people get rights. It's like a concentration camp. They're locked in at the tiniest place, the tiniest of little place. One side is the Mediterranean Sea. The only opening is Rafah, which opens into Egypt, and Egypt has paid billions to keep that closed and these people caged. So what I would suggest to you is that just if, like, and I appreciate you coming on and asking these questions, but this is probably not the space for the questions because we're giving a lot of breaking news. Stay with us. Listen, we do a lot of spaces on this, and keep coming and keep listening. I mean, this has been going on for about 18 months, so I don't really want to deviate away from what we're talking about.
Do you guys have
about.
A solution for the Palestine-Israel conflict? What's the solution?
Yeah, so
what's
that's what I'm saying to you, Yuppie. You're not listening to me. What I'm saying is that these questions, I don't want to deviate from our space today. I appreciate what you're trying to do here, and I really do understand what you're trying to do. So what I'm saying is save them for one of our other spaces where we talk about all of these things, because you, by your own admission, don't know enough about it. So just sit back and listen, hear the breaking news, you'll get a better understanding. And if you're so concerned about what's going on, I suggest you educate yourself on what's going on. And I mean this in the best way. And then we'll talk about solutions with you. But guys, I just want to give some breaking. Brother Ivy, jump in and then I'll give breaking news.
I'll just give the breaking news because I've got a few more coming up as well. The breaking news is in the nest. Donald Trump personally gave Israel the great green light to restart the genocide in Gaza. So that is breaking news. Donald Trump personally gave the green light for Israel to restart the genocide in Gaza. Go ahead, Ivy, what were you going to say?
Where are the pro, before we go to him, real quick, where are the pro-Trump people that said this guy was anti-war? This guy was supposed to, you know, make deals within days. Like, that's what I'm wondering. Like, why don't we ask those questions about how this guy, like, totally lied to millions of Americans, including pro-Palestinians in Michigan, who helped him win the entire election if it wasn't for that state, which was a swing state. So, I mean, there's a lot of answers that Trump needs to give us in his following here. Instead of, you know, questions being asked, I guess, to us, the biggest thing here needs to be, where's this $12 billion? Where did it go? Obviously, I see where it went right now. It's going to weapons to massacre humanity and Gaza, Palestine. So people need to ask these questions. They're talking about releasing the Kennedy files tomorrow, releasing the Epstein files. They haven't done that yet. I know the reason. It's Israel. And people need to start calling this out immediately, because just like what Simon was speaking on earlier, America is on the brink of collapse, and it's due to Israel. So I just wanted to share that real quick. Mike, back to you, Suleiman.
Yeah, breaking news. Khaleesi, you're going to read the news in the nest, and then we'll go to Ivy.
Yeah, we'll come to you straight away, and Brother Ivy. So Hamas have issued an official statement, and I'm going to read it. And it says, Netanyahu and his Nazi government resume aggression and the war of genocide against defenseless civilians in the Gaza Strip. Netanyahu and his extremist government take a decision to coup against the ceasefire agreement, and they're exposed to the prisoners in Gaza to an unknown fate. I'm just going to pause there, guys. That sentence is really important. So what Israel has done is gone in and bombed their own hostages. And because they've continued bombing tonight, what Hamas is saying is, we don't know what the fate of those hostages is tonight. And because Israel has exposed them to that. So Israel has gone in and potentially killed its own people again. I'll carry on with the statement. We demand the brokers to hold Netanyahu and the Zionist occupation fully responsible for violating the agreement and the coup against it. And these were the brokers to the initial ceasefire agreement. And I believe it was Qatar, Egypt, America was one of the brokers as well, funnily enough. So they demand the brokers to hold Netanyahu and the Zionist occupation fully responsible for violating the ceasefire agreement and the coup against it. We call on the League of Arab States and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, which is basically all of the Islamic states, to assume their historical responsibility in supporting the steadfastness of our Palestinian people and its valiant resistance and breaking the unjust siege multiplied by the Gaza Strip. And then the final paragraph, we call on the United Nations and the UN Security Council to have an urgent conclusion, to take a decision that obliges the occupation to stop its aggression and to compel it to Resolution 2735, calling for the cessation of aggression and withdrawal from the entire Gaza Strip. So 2735 was passed last year or the year before, and it's a United Nations resolution, unbinding but legal, all right, which said that Israel had to stop its aggression on Gaza and withdraw from the Strip. Now, Israel has actually violated every single UN resolution, like ever, that's been given to it. Every single one, more than any other country in the world. So make of that what you will. But yeah, here is Hamas being dutiful and still saying, and the majority of the UN countries, by the way, do not see Hamas as a terrorist organization. The majority of them do not, which is why when they had the ceasefire resolution and Canada came forward and said, we want to actually put in a clause saying Hamas did October the 7th and they didn't have the right to, that failed. They couldn't put that amendment in because the majority of the countries voted against it because they know that actually Hamas did this for resistance. So that's important. Let me just have a look. So please share that. I'm going to share it myself in a second and retweet it. Let me go to Brother Ivy. Brother Ivy, we were talking to Yuppie and you were going to jump in with something. I want to really hear what you want to say.
Yeah, I was going to say to him, he sounds like he's from New York. And I just wanted to say that Gaza is about half the size of the five boroughs. Like, this is a tiny strip of land. And the idea that when you're 50% of the population is under 16, they should just be separate. And they should be separated away from Hamas because so it's all their fault. And Israel is not targeting them when they drop a 2,000-pound bomb on indiscriminately on very densely packed cities, right? It's kind of laughable.
What's the solution? Where's the accountability for Hamas?
Hamas are under the ground in tunnels. They're not bombing. They're not going underground to get Hamas. They've literally leveled 99% of all the buildings. They are literally making it a campaign because they want to ethnically cleanse, and if they can't, they want to make it so unlivable that the civilians, the people, are forced to leave. This is not targeting Hamas.
Yeah, they want to construct the casino. Look, they're literally reveal. It's the revelation of the method, right? It's the kind of, they always say this, but it's true. They showed you the casino. They showed you the AI generated videos with
Israel
the guys,
bombed hospital.
The women with the beards. And all this crap, he wants to build Trump Casino. He thinks everything's real estate. Look, listen, they're trying to make it unlivable, get rid of everyone. And they also want to get rid of the hostages because these protests that are causing unrest and instability in their government, they don't want those protests anymore. And the protesters are protesting to get them to act, to get the hostages out. Once they're dead, there's no action that can be taken by the government. They could just say, well, they're dead, so what are you protesting about?
And by the way, if you want to know the solution is diplomacy. You can't get rid of Hamas. They've been trying to bomb them. You know, they've been trying to bomb Gaza for 16 months now. And all they've done is killed women and children. And Hamas have been recruiting at a faster rate than anything because they're not actually, that's not the goal. Look, if you want to know the solution, it's already there. The GCC in Egypt has said, here's $53 billion to rebuild. Hamas have already said, we will step aside to other leadership if you actually go into a genuine two-state solution. And they've already said, we would like to return all the hostages right now. The ceasefire agreement was after phase one, and phase one, Hamas fulfilled all their agreement, but Israel have continued to kill another 100 people, and they've made over 900 violations of the ceasefire agreement in the time. And they've already, the phase two was for them to withdraw and to allow, to remove themselves from the border between Egypt and Gaza. and move to a genuine two-state solution and a negotiation of what the future looks like and how it's going to be governed and how the two are meant to live side by side. That was the ceasefire agreement. This is trying to reverse the ceasefire agreement with the PR campaign of the Trump administration in order to lie to you as Americans, in order to make you think that something else is going on here, other than every attempt to try and get a genocide, ethnically cleanse, your taxpayer money, your vote for Trump is being used in order to commit crimes against humanity, genocide, ethnic cleansing, and the complete elimination of a people from their land so that they can be pushed out into the Sinai desert. And Israel, if they get their plan, turn the whole region on fire so they can be the sole nuclear power in the region. That is
anybody goal. On is anybody on this space for the other side? Can we see an opposing view, or is this just an echo chamber space?
I thought you were on the other side, to be honest.
Yeah.
No, I'm exploring. I'm exploring all this stuff. I'm not aware that Israel.
Yuppie, listen, stop chatting nonsense, right? First of all, you've come on a space where you're Israeli genociders, your Zionists are literally murdering people, women and children. And then you come in here playing dumb, like, oh, I'm so confused, but I'm just going to literally continue attacking. I'm going to continue supporting the Zionist side when they're committing terrorist attacks right now. And you're like, oh, I'm really dumb. I don't know what's going on. Like, this might work with the, like, dumb listener, but it ain't gonna work with me. So, yes, there is somebody on the other side. It's you. You have come out with the dumbest points ever because, obviously, you've got no answer for the fact that women and children are being murdered. You have no answer. You're like, what's the solution? Obviously, as soon as Simon comes, you're just trying to spam loads of questions. And when people are answering those questions, and then you're basically being exposed for the low IQ person you are, then you're like, is there anybody on the side? Right, we've let in anybody we want. With people request, we bring them up. We brought you up, you're a Zio. And now just shut your mouth and keep quiet, because at the end of the day, if you haven't got the ability to articulate a point, we don't need you on here. So it's simple as that.
My point is Hamas. Thing,
right?
Did I just
give you permission to speak, Yuppie?
Exactly. Nobody said you could speak, but it says
learn
something.
Your manners. Put your hand up, Zio. Like, what? One thing you've noticed over the last 18 months is the same, right? These Zios, the parents have never taught them any manners or etiquette, so they don't have the ability to put their hands up and wait for their turn. So you got that girl, Kirsty, who's been on for you for 2-3 hours waiting to speak, but Zios, they think they've been given the God-given right because of their Jewish supremacy to basically interrupt when they want. And obviously now that I basically exposed who he is, he's run off.
The mic has promised him 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
It was.
I wanted to say to him, it says something if he's an American living in America, and over the last 18 months, he has no idea what's been going on. Like, you have to be exceptionally thick to come on a space and say the thing that dominated the headlines across the world with every country, with the ICC, the ICJ, the United Nations, you know, Biden's cabinet, Trump statements, everything that's happened, I have no idea what's going on. Yuppie, you did not do yourself any justice. And you, like, we all knew who he was. We said it to you, Yuppie, but you were too thick to understand, where we said we're not going to let you deviate because we knew what your action was. And I hand it to that girl, Casey, because this time her phone hasn't overheated and her battery wasn't dying either. Should we go to Casey Suleiman? Is there any breaking news?
Yeah, just some quick breaking news and then straight to Casey. Just putting it in the nest, it might take a few seconds. But a statement from the White House, coming from the White House, which is that Israel consulted us on the raids on Gaza. So this has been confirmed by the White House. Let's go to Casey. Go ahead, Casey, jump in.
Yeah, thank you so much for the space, guys. Thank you for everything. We already, like you said, knew who Yuppie was. I mean, from the minute he started talking, I already knew who he was. So it doesn't work here, and we don't have time for that here. The fact is, right now, this administration has decided to go full steam ahead in the Middle East, and it's not going to stop. We are escalating and being tossed into World War III without any questions asked. There is no reverse gear. But before I get there, I want to just if you need to stop me for breaking news, because I see breaking news come up on the thing, so just shut me up and just go right to it, just so you know. But I'll make this quick. I just want to say that I'm always praying for Palestine. So number one, that's just right there on a humanitarian level. Like, this is just terrible to see. We're back at this again with the women and children, but with anybody getting killed for no reason, just getting killed. We're back at the bombings again. But we knew that $12 billion, or however many billion dollars that Trump was allowing for Israel to have last week, wasn't for, you know, decorating Gaza. So we knew that this would be coming. And at the same time, the Houthis are really trying to put up a resistance, and America's bombing Yemen, and at the same time telling Iran, if something happens again with the Houthis, we're coming after you too. Full steam ahead in the Middle East, like I expected. Maybe a little faster than I expected, but definitely like I expected. And for anybody to think that if you talk about this way as an American and whatever they call themselves, MAGA, whatever, I don't know, I don't care. This is called reality. It is not called, you know, because lately I've been having people say, oh, if you're not pro-Trump, then you're not pro-America. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not then. You could call me whatever. I'm pro-reality. And the reality is that we are killing a bunch of civilians. Again, understand, when Israel kills these civilians, that's us killing the civilians. This is American money, American-funded killing of civilians again. We're going into the Middle East full steam ahead. So all of you people who are so excited to be pro this and W war and all of that, get ready to see what it means to stand for Israel. This is a catastrophe. This is a disgrace. And I'm praying, my heart goes out to the Palestinians, to everybody being affected over there, everybody. Just stop fast because I saw a breaking news and I didn't want to like hog, because I could go on forever, to be honest.
I think Suleiman covered that breaking news, but I can't see anything else in the nest. Maybe my app is glitching. Okay. The one from the White House, or is there something more?
Yeah, I saw something from the White House, but you know what? My app was glitching and it just showed up for me, so I'm about to retweet
yeah.
that.
Yeah, Israel consulted us in the raids on Gaza. So basically, what was said by, I think it was Israeli media, which is that Trump gave the green light. Israeli media said this. Trump gave the green light for the genocide to restart. And now they're saying, yeah, they consulted us. Well, what does consulted us mean? It doesn't say we didn't say no, does it?
Yeah, let's just be honest here. This means nothing, because they would have done it anyway. They're the ones in power. They're the ones that tell Trump what to do. And this is just a way sort of to deflect and say, well, it's not just us. We have consensus here. It's manufacturing consent, right? They would have done it regardless. They've shown their rogue state over and over and over again.
Just some breaking news, tweets in the nest. Unfortunately, now there are 59 people who are being killed and many injured by Israeli airstrikes. So, yeah, the information is coming thick and fast, unfortunately. Many, many people are dead. Let's go to Brother Omar. Jump in, please.
Thanks, Ali. On the consent part, right, the consultation part, Israel has actually consulted the U.S. every time since that fiasco. Remember when Israel, Egypt and France worked together to invade Egypt and occupy, parts of Egypt, and then US had to interfere and get rid of them from Egypt. So since then, it has been customary for the Israeli state to obtain consultation and consensus from the US to launch any aggressive, operations against any country in the region. So it doesn't mean that US has the power to say no, but it's just a customary thing to make sure that US doesn't, pull out their support from Israel. But also with regards to Gaza, right, that yuppie, I don't know if he lives under a rock. He was talking about accountability for Palestinian resistance. Like, what is he on about? Under international law, people who are occupied have a right to resist, including armed resistance. And the occupying powers are the ones that should be, pulling out. But Israel doesn't want to do that. Israel doesn't want to grant Palestinians a statehood. It wants to occupy them indefinitely. And this is the result we see. And US just, gets along with whatever Israel is doing. And also, I just want to comment on Iran. I don't think you know, US will target Iran just as yet. I think they are using the maximum pressure tactic. They will do everything in their power to make sure that Iran comes to the table and signs some kind of deal. And if that doesn't happen, even in that scenario, I don't see the US launching any airstrikes. I do see that, you know, Israel will likely carry out targeted strikes against Iran if Iran doesn't sign any agreement to denuclearize, you know, to get rid of its nuclear program or anything like that. And as far as Houthis are concerned, I said this in December as well last year, Houthis were going to be on the US's target list, right? Because who was left? Obviously, Palestinian resistance was fighting. Hezbollah was fighting Israel, then that, you know, ceasefire deal happened, and then Syria fell. So it was naturally Houthis that they were going to go after next, and that's what they're doing. So systematically, they're you know, dismantling any form of resistance in the region, you know, that was going against their imperialist project. And also, just bear in mind, US wants to leave the Middle East. US wants to focus on China. US wants to contain Chinese you know, progress, but it's the, you know, the state of Israel that's dragging the US back in the region. And I think what Donald Trump is trying to do is trying to normalize Israel with other countries so US can get a sort of off-ramp from the region. But I don't see that happening because the current Israeli leadership, Netanyahu, is a maniac. And so long he stays in power, I don't see US being allowed to leave that region. But I also see, you know, a lot of right-wingers currently are being quiet about it. I just don't understand this. Like, they need to speak up the way they did when Biden was in power. I see people like Ann Coulter speaking up. Like, Ann Coulter is a rabid Islamophobe. She is a rabid anti-immigrant person. But she is somebody who's been calling out, you know, the current administration's their maniacal policies. So, you know, MAGA needs to get on board and do what they were doing for the last 1 year, which is to hold, you know, powerful people to account. And I don't see that happening enough at this point in time. I just wanted to make those points. Thanks, Kay. Thanks, Sully.
Yeah, thanks for that, Brother Omar. Look, I just, this consultation with America thing, right? I think we're forgetting that America is infested with Zionist control. So I think that this consultation, I don't think America could ever say no. And if Trump really wanted to pull out of the Middle East, he would not have given unlimited amount of bombs as soon as he came into power to Israel. Stockpile them right there for when you need to use them. That doesn't give normalization. Now, I don't think Trump's in control, to be honest. I think he's compromised. And I'll just say this, this is my personal opinion, but I don't think MAGA were ever on the side. There were very few MAGA, now I think about it. I can count them on one hand. Doc was one of them who actually used to speak up against the genocide. But if I think about the people now that are like sucking up to Trump, they were always sucking up to Trump. And they hardly ever spoke up against the genocide.
I'm still condemning the genocide. That hasn't stopped.
I know, Doc, and I do appreciate that. And what I'm saying is that I don't think there were, like, the majority of MAGA were doing it. I think there were only a handful really doing it. We just thought they were, Brother Omar.
It's pretty big right now. Guys like Alpha Warrior are out there defending Massey, who's a DeSantis, a.k.a. Israeli-owned politician, is splitting MAGA, at least among my friend group, the Facebook that I deal with. It's pretty bad. So you're absolutely right in terms of you're characterizing some quote-unquote MAGA supporters. And, yeah, I'm completely disappointed with Trump and what he's doing, that he hasn't applied the same principles in Gaza that he's applied elsewhere when it comes to U.S. military involvement. Clearly, something's there. Compromise, I don't know, but something's going on.
Guys, and Doc is a giant Trump supporter. So for him to be saying that, it shows just how serious this situation is. Like, he's being very honest. And he's always honest. So you can tell how bad it is.
Yeah, Khaleesi, yeah, this is why I think
it's... Let's be fair, though. Trump is compromised.
Yeah, I don't think he is compromised. Yeah, yeah. I think this is a maximum pressure campaign leading towards a negotiation. And the people that really rule the world, the people that control the purse strings, the people that, you know, they know that Israel is just useless now.
With respect to the hand, Simon, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You said you don't think that Trump is compromised. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I don't think he's compromised. I think he's doing this on his own decision because he's just Trump. With Trump, you just follow the money.
He's an Israeli.
He's being paid to do this. Of course, he got his funding. But to say
that's compromised.
Yeah, exactly. How's that not compromised?
Well, okay.
He got $100 million from Adelson.
I think what he's arguing is that you're not compromised.
Let me read you the first place, right? He's doing what every U.S. Politician, every European politician is doing. They're all prostitutes for their for whoever's paying their checks for the military industrial complex, all those lobby groups and Israeli lobbies. But when I say compromise, I mean I don't think he's being forced to do something against his will. I think he's complicit in what is happening right now. And I don't think it's like, oh, I really don't want to do this, but I've got an Epstein blackmail that's forcing me not to do it. I don't think it's that. I think this is what Trump wants to do. I think he's aligning with his political process, his supporters, his funders, his corporate interests in the military industrial complex, banking lobby and all that. But I genuinely believe that those interests right now have decided that Israel is no longer a useful asset and Israel is just a problem in the world. And Israel is going to, that there is going to be a peaceful resolution in the Middle East. And America is going to be a regional power and the Middle East is going to normalize. And they're deciding there is maximum pressure campaigns entering into the Saudi negotiations.
Sorry, Simon, I do agree with a lot of what you're saying, especially in terms of maximum pressure tactics. But what I do disagree with is the people in power thinking that Israel is useless. If America leaves the region, then they need a lapdog in the region to make sure that there is somebody in the region who does their bidding. And I don't think people in power think Israel is useless. No, they actually fear Muslims and Arabs uniting.
They would want to do everything in their power to make sure Arabs and Muslims are disunited in that region and Israel plays that role. I don't think they see Israel's role as a lapdog or as the settler colonial outpost, being over. I don't think so. They still look at it as a useful tool. And I think they will do everything in their power to make sure that Israel survives, because if they were to just leave it will collapse. That entire project is going to collapse. They won't do that because they need that project to make sure that Arabs do not unite and do not, come together to put up anything. Literally, that's their agenda.
Yeah, there's one other possibility here, and I realize I'm going to get some shit for saying this. But Trump has a pattern in practice in dealing with both hostile nations and friendly nations. And typically, it's putting pressure on both sides. What I think Trump ultimately wants is, as part of his heritage here, as part of his legacy, is a broader peace deal in the Middle East. Yes, Israel is going to have to be brought to the table and cooperatively, because as Omar and others have correctly pointed out, Israel can act independently, militarily, in defense of themselves. They've got the nuclear weapons. They can go that far if they want to. They do need the U.S. because they need the U.S. money to support their current hostile relations with everyone around them. But ultimately, what I think Trump wants, he's trying to put pressure on the Houthis, on the Yemenis, on the Saudis, on Iran, everyone to come together, because we all want a resolution for the Palestinian problem. And Israel has to be part of that, unless you want to blow them up. And you do that, and everyone else gets blown up along with them.
I'm sorry.
Just some quick breaking news, and I'll pass it right back to you. I know Dr. Michael wants to jump in as well. Breaking news, quick one. What was it again? 80. Unfortunately, the death toll has increased. It's now 86 people have been killed by Israeli airstrikes in Gaza. So 86 people have now been unfortunately killed in Gaza tonight. The genocide has restarted. That girl, jump in, and then I want to hear what Dr. Michael's got to say as well.
Yeah, thank you, Suleiman. I'm going to make it quick. But sometimes I just wonder what it takes for people to see how bad we are, like, held hostage by a foreign nation. And I know, you know, I'm going to sound whatever, mean or bad to somebody. I don't care anymore, bro. We are facing World War III, okay? That cabinet is full of a bunch of Jewish Zionists and Christian Zionists, all right? And we keep leaving that element out of it. These people are psychopaths. There is no logical thinking. If there was logical thinking, we wouldn't be bombing children and women today. There is no reverse gear. This isn't about money. Trump could want what he wants. Oh, we're going to bring everybody so we could save the people in Palestine. They don't care about the people in Palestine. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, at the 18, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I'm almost done. At the 18 months, this is called ethnic cleansing. Everything is Hamas to these people. The babies are Hamas to these people. And we fund this type of psychopathy. This is happening. So I mean, I don't mean to be doom and gloom ever, because God is still real and in control, but there, we can't leave that element out. And there's no diplomacy. We're long past that point. They are moving forward with their plan of ethnic cleansing and genocide, and they are going to do whatever it takes to weaken Iran, to weaken all of the, you know, whatever's left of the Arab, you know, resistance factions. They are going full steam ahead, and most of them are in my government. Thank you, Suleiman.
Dr. Michael, jump in. What's your thoughts?
Hi, everybody. So I just wanted to say some things about what has been said. One of the things that's been suggested is that the U.S. is like, or Israel is like U.S.'s lapdog. And I think it's not a reverse. The U.S. is merely, the tail is wagging the dog so hard here that it's unbelievable. I don't believe that Israel is dispensable, because this is a geopolitical headquarters of the ruling class. And that ruling class is a Zionist elite. They run the world. We don't have any sense in which the United States has some sort of sovereignty here. We don't have sovereignty. The United States is a captive colony of this same group. This group runs everything. And that's what's happening. The United States is like a bulldog for Israel. We're on a leash. They are controlling us, not the other way around, because the ruling class is centered in Israel as their place of refuge from their criminality. They are psychopaths, exactly as Casey put it. We're talking about psychopathy. These are psychopaths. They do not attain ethical standards for the rest of the world. Where this comes from, you take your guess. I think it comes from their deep supremacist beliefs, which are religiously based, I'm afraid. But that being said, it doesn't matter. They're psychopaths. We're their lapdog. They're controlling us. They control not just the United States. They control all of the European Union. They're controlling all of these people. That's why we don't see the rest of the world stepping up. Any other country that committed the crimes that Israel has committed would be universally condemned in the world. In the world opinion, in the world courts too, and they would allow the ICJ and the ICC to step in, and they would honor their rulings about Netanyahu and Gallant, both war criminals. Plus, yeah, I think the whole culture is really culpable. There are 90% of the Israelis are actually behind the slaughter. They want more. They don't want less. They want more. They want it accelerated. They want more death. They've said this many times, and this is very clear. This is a country whose people actually protested to rape prisoners in concentration camps in Israel. That's the kind of people we're talking about. We're talking about sick.
It's founded on a mythology, the war of heaven and hell, and they're on hell's side.
So, Dr. Michael, can I ask a question? You want to carry on? I didn't think you'd finish.
No, go ahead. Ask the question. I'd love to feel.
Here's my analysis. I recognize it's a contrarian view. I recognize it, because everything you have said is absolutely true. And it was the model of the old world order. But I think certain things have changed. And The reason for that is just the, you know, for other reasons that's not worth going through right now. But even though all of that is the case, do you believe that the Zionist-controlled Congress and Senate and Trump administration would actually sacrifice America? And by sacrifice, I mean literally change the dynamics of being the most powerful in one of the most powerful or even a regional power in the world, global hegemon. Do you think they would, as things get really bad in America, as this progresses, like expose its weakness and sacrifice itself for Israel? And that's what I don't think America will do.
I don't think they have a choice in the matter. I don't think it's up to the so-called rulers of the United States, the government of this country. I believe that it's a decision being made by the Jewish cabal, the Jewish mafia that is in charge. They will decide what the United States becomes. I mean,
but that mafia only cares about money, and this doesn't make financial sense. Like to take away, to sacrifice the golden goose when you could have a stable Middle East and you could have America, it makes zero financial sense. And I'm telling you,
it the just black goes to show this, America is disposable to them because they don't care for America and white people. They want to destroy America and then move on to their next project because that's what they do. They bankrupt and destroy countries. As Benjamin Netanyahu put it, he views America as a golden calf. They're going to chop up into bits, sell off, and turn into a welfare state. So I don't see why there's surprise here. You think that the stability, peace, and harmony is what Israel seeks while they just get to count their shekels? They can print unlimited amounts of shekels. It's not about money. They have unlimited money. They have unlimited resources. At this point, it's just about creating chaos and getting closer towards their end of times prophecy, which they seek to fulfill. And they want to achieve their greater Israel project at the expense of the Gentiles, because it's the Jews that are running the show and they're pulling the strings here, Simon. At some point, you've just got to own it. It's not a Zionist problem. It's a Jewish problem. I'll pause. I'll wait my turn.
Yeah, so yeah, I think that's the debate. Is this a suicide mission towards an end of time prophecy? Or is this the global controllers of finance that are actually cooler heads are going to prevail because there's way more money in not sacrificing America at this stage? And that's what America, I believe the debate is.
The America is the golden calf that they would melt down entirely and milk to the nth degree. And they don't have any regard for America. America is just, look, I would look at it like this, taking a matrix metaphor. We're the batteries, okay? We're the batteries fueling this particular ruling class. We're nothing but fodder to them. That's the way the United States is looked at by these people. They don't give a shit about our country at all. This country is just
I agree, but they do give a shit about the money, right? If you destabilize the Middle East, like, and I don't mind, I'm talking about, you create World War III in the Middle East, you sacrifice Europe, you sacrifice America, there's only China left. And if there's only China left, what you're essentially saying is that they control China, which I don't believe to be true. Because in this current model, everything gets sacrificed except China.
But haven't they already triggered world wars in the past where multiple countries were sacrificed?
You have to understand, sacrificing countries isn't good for people like everyday people like us and the listeners and 99% of the world, right? But for the 1%, sacrificing makes a ton of money. That's why they sacrificed us in 2020 with the whole COVID scamdemic. And it was Trump behind the Operation Warp Speed as well, you know, ironically.
But the difference is you need someone to hand it over to. If you wipe out the Middle East, right, if you wipe out Europe, if you wipe out America, if you wipe out Russia, if you wipe out the whole global South, you've only got one economy which will suffer incredibly, which is China.
So, Simon, I mean, in terms of that, let me just quickly get this breaking news and I want to answer that. And then I want this conversation to continue because I think it's an important conversation. Official statement from Israeli War Minister Israel Katz, Israel Katz. Official statement, we are attacking Gaza, face of them before we arrange our attack with the American administration. That tweet is in the nest. in terms of that, and I do want you guys to continue, is it's not that they're sacrificing everyone and then leaving it to China. I mean, the aim is that they, I mean, the Israeli aim is that they basically get rid of the oppositions and opponents right now when it's the most critical moment, using American finances, economy, military force. That does weaken America, but what it does is puts Israel in a more stronger position from a military perspective, where they don't have to worry about the Middle East. They have the financial control over basically the world financial markets, and then they then become the people who replace America. That's the actual aim. So it's not just burning everything to the ground. And I know Israel relies on America significantly, but the aim on this plan is that they basically replace. So therefore, they're no longer relying on a foreign nation, a European nation. Well, before a European nation that could.
So I'm sorry to interject. It's about creating greater Israel. They want Jerusalem to be the world capital. Israel. So the world power will now shift to Israel. That's what they want to preserve.
Exactly. Yes, Simon, go ahead, continue. And no, Ryan wants to
join. Yeah, no, well. I mean, I know that that's what they want. But you know who doesn't want that? The GCC doesn't want that, because they want that role. They want to be in the center of the world. They want to be the world capital. They've got their own capital. And they know that allowing Israel to completely topple the region and allow America to escalate like this, it's a forever war across the entire region. It wakes up everything. It sets the whole damn region on fire. And it will be. It is bringing America into World War III, and it is bringing Russia in, and it is bringing all of the dynamics of World War III, which zero people win. Now, I know Israel wants that. But the real question we have to ask is everyone willing to sacrifice himself because Israel has so much control? And Israel still needs the components. And remember, there are bigger forces, the Black Rocks of the world, the vanguards of the world. They all still need, you know, an economy. They still need money. They don't, like, you can sell a lot of weapons, but...
Simon, they don't want to. So basically, the aim isn't to destroy everything; it's to replace. And the second thing is Russia. I mean, I don't think Russia jumps into any kind of subsequent war as well, because there's, and I think that's largely the reason why I don't think there will be a peace agreement between Russia and Ukraine. And hence why the offer that was made to Russia was something that just couldn't be accepted. But the Trump people think that he's kind of worked. You know, it's playing his base, who think that he's kind of going towards peace, because they, in order to support Israel in this wider war, the wider conflict, they can't have Russia out of a Ukraine war as well. So I don't think Russia will be in a position to be able to fight in two fronts. Hence why they were able to topple Syria so easily as well. Ryan, jump in. What's your thoughts? And do continue on with Simon as well, because under Simon, I'm trying to stop what you're saying. I want you to continue.
Yeah, America is nothing but an unridged coin to these people driving. It is ideological. It's not about money. If they cared about national interests and wanted money, then they would side with the rest of the Middle East that has all the oil and gas and just have peace and trade and tell Israel to fuck off. Like, they just wanted to be rich and maintain power. They would side with Iran and Iraq. They wouldn't have had a war in Iraq or Syria or Libya. They wouldn't have spent trillions of dollars stealing things when they could have gotten oil and all those riches for a lot less than what it costs to steal it. You could buy it. If they really wanted prosperity and wealth, then they would take the opposite side, because Israel gives the U.S. nothing but demands. They are being governed by people's personal select commercial interests. So congressmen themselves, the Nancy Pelosi's and people like that, they'll profiteer, but at the expense of the rest of the nation. I mean, they don't care about the nation. They'll be dead before the nation's dead. They are profiting while they can. That's, they don't worry about 50 years later or whatever. Israel's a parasitic state. The U.S. isn't going to disappear. The dollar's not going to collapse. They just want the U.S. to be subservient to Israel. If they have that, they have that. And yeah, it'll wane and it'll hurt the middle class and all, but it's still going to be the most powerful country on earth, bar none. And so they're using it as a weapon. And parasites always flock to the most powerful host. And the same thing, these European states are subservient to Israel. they're just not as powerful, so they don't concentrate them on. Like, they didn't put a you know, full court effort on Ireland because Ireland isn't powerful. If they was going to put all the money and media into the Irish that they have in the United States, then Ireland would support Israel too. It's just they, you know, it's not worth the way they put the resources is where the strength is. And the strength is in the United States, in the United Kingdom. Is that you go down the list and they have all those places. I mean, China's not going to do anything. This is not resolvable without crushing their monopoly on media. All power derives from that. Political power, social structure, it all stems from controlling the culture, which you get from controlling the press. And our press is
Zionist. Controls them. Who controls them?
Zionist, Jewish supremacist, whatever you want to call it. They're doing it for greater Israel. And they do, these people do have a religious ideology in mind. They worship themselves, and they think God gave them this land, and they can just murder everybody without remorse. Not only without remorse, but with delight. They actually enjoy killing babies. It's true evil.
Yeah, that's what I would say too. And I'd say you'd have to look deeper into their underlying ethics. And it does not comport with the kind of ethics that I maintain, for example, is that every person is a sovereign entity that deserves to be alive and has
the ethics of Yahweh. They read their text.
It is a religious.
They worship. They created and worship a genocidal maniac that destroys the earth, that killed the firstborn of Egypt, that has human sacrifices and animal sacrifices, instructs genocide, is just wrathful and hateful, egotistical. I mean, it's the worst. If a religion is a reflection of the culture that invented them, then you have this most warped and sick minded culture that has ever graced the earth.
But it's their interpretation.
And made a deity,
though, Ryan. I mean, like, we can't, you know what I mean? Because that Old Testament, you don't see a bunch of that does not even conflict. Like, to a Christian, that
right, interpretation is the way out of it, or just reject it.
Huh? What happened?
Like, you could be a grown up and not have it at all, or you can reinterpret it until it's something less insane. But what's actually written down is a genocidal maniac that demands worship and has a slave-master relationship with its tenants. Polar opposite of every other faith ever created.
No, that thing is like, it's how some of them interpret it, and they sat there and they took the Old Testament and wrote it a certain way. But that's also a cop-out too, a little bit. But whatever it is, because I don't want to get into a theological debate here, but at the same time, you're right. There's what drives them is not logic.
Right. You can interpret it into something less crazy, but it's pretty hard to say, like, when God says beat your slaves, what he really means is don't have slaves in the first place and don't beat them. Like, it takes a lot of mental gymnastics to turn Judaism into something that isn't nuts, because it's nuts. It's barbaric Bronze Age, less than Bronze Age morality. It's, I don't want to go chapter after chapter, but like, the examples are there. It is a murderous, vengeful, wrathful God, and that is, they follow that, and it's like, wow, why'd you expect different results? But that is the natural byproduct of such an insane ideology.
I'm sorry, again, I have to respond. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not gonna be
just a quick one. I'm just gonna look, I don't want to turn into a theological debate, and I think you do agree, but I think you're talking about, because you want to be defending the Old Testament, which is fine.
I understand there are sects of Judaism that don't follow what's written down. That's great. I mean, that's how most faiths are. Like, we don't, Christians and Muslims today don't have the divine right of kings, even though it is in the text. And that's good. I don't want them to follow the text. I think the text is nuts.
Okay, but Ryan, the Ten Commandments are pretty straightforward. Basically, worship one God, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. The Jews don't even follow that. So it's not all
well,
crazy
the
stuff.
Ten Commandments also, the Tenth Commandment says not to covet your neighbor's slaves. There's no thou shalt not have slaves. It's don't covet your neighbor's wife, oxen, or slave. The sixth also says that even slaves have to keep the Sabbath holy. So, like, even within the Ten Commandments, you still are supporting slavery. Like, they don't, there's nothing good. Anything out of that, like, don't kill, don't steal, these are all things that are common sense. You don't need a commandment to know not to murder your neighbors. But it's really, it doesn't even say not to murder. It says not, and it doesn't say not to lie. It says not to bear false witness. against other Jews. It says, you know, not to, it doesn't say not to kill, it says not to murder, don't premeditate it. But that's only towards each other. Because you go in, that's, you're talking about Exodus 20. What's Exodus 21 say?
Exodus 21:20
says about beating your male and female slaves and how they die as a result. It doesn't matter if you're property.
I don't want to go down the Bible versus Torah versus Quran. And I think truth.
I know, but that's why. That's the root of it.
Into a theological discussion when you jumped in with the Ten Commandments right afterwards. So I think you just have to respect what the host and co-host said.
Quick breaking news, guys.
Someone else brought up the commandments, so I was reacting to it.
One second, guys. A breaking news, 100 killed. According to some reports, the death toll has increased, 100 killed and 250 injured, mainly women and children, according to various reports. So that is coming. The numbers are increasing and escalating significantly. Unfortunately, the Gaza genocide has continued. Trump's continued the policy of Biden and Harris. We're seeing Israeli, just to give a quick recap for the audience, for many people who weren't on earlier, the Biden and Harris, three vessels have gone towards Iran. Iran also intercepted a drone that was headed there from the US. The Yemeni Houthis have attacked a US ship. Israel is bombing Gaza through approval from Trump and his administration. 100 people have been killed. At least 250 people have been injured, mainly women and children, because Gaza is mainly women and children. So that's the latest news, obviously. Look at the